Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome into another edition of the Pro Football Chase Podcast. It's Isaac Sines with you, and I have Vikings defensive tackle Michael Pierce joining the show for an interview. So, Michael, thanks again for joining me. How are you doing?
No, thank you for having me, man. I'm doing well. Happy to be back in the realm of football.
Yes, sir, indeed. Just talking about it. OTAs underway at the end of May, and of course, we're going to have training camp at the end of July, and then the 2021 season hopefully will come quickly in September. But Michael, let's start this interview going back to when you entered the NFL. You went undrafted out of Samford in 2016, ultimately chose to sign with the Ravens. What was that process like, and what made Baltimore a good fit?
Oh, man, that process was a whirlwind. So most people don't know, I tore my MCL, PCL, meniscus. I want to say the second to last game of my senior year. So I was on the wait list to get into the Senior Bowl. I think I was pretty sure I was going to play in the East-West Shrine, but that injury kind of knocked everything out. So I had hopes of being a low-round draft guy, probably, fifth or sixth round. But pretty much everybody expected me to get drafted up until I got hurt. So that was a whirlwind, man. Not only did I have to rehab and get ready for pro day, but when the draft rolled around, things just didn't shake out. So it was a whirlwind. Baltimore actually flew me up for a pre-draft visit, them in Buffalo. So I got to know Coach Harbaugh a little bit. I got to understand their scheme, watch a little film with them and as well as Buffalo. But when the draft came, they kind of laid out their plans and they told me, how everything was shaking out after the fourth round, that they wouldn't draft a nose guard unless it be me. So that kind of held true. They didn't draft a nose guard, and, Brandon Williams, the stalwart defensive tackle, was there. It was an opportunity for me to learn and, have a chance to play. So it was the best thing for me at that time.
Now, transitions from college to the NFL, based on the players I've interviewed, everybody has their own experiences. Some are able to translate to the next level easy, and some others have it a little bit more challenging. What was it like for you, Michael, as you departed Samford and then started your NFL career with the Ravens?
To be honest, it wasn't terribly hard for me. I have a very, very high football IQ, especially for the nose guard position. So that comes from years of studying film and having an uncle who is, my dad's college roommate, who I call my uncle, is his assistant GM at the Dolphins, being around the Senior Bowl, all that kind of stuff. So for me, it was more so the technical side. So I graduated college. I was probably, if not the strongest person in the draft, I was probably top five-ish, if you will. So got a powerlifting background, that whole nine. So for me, it was more so about obviously learning the plays, but learning the nuances of D-line and how to use my hands properly and just put myself in great positions. And, when I got to Baltimore, I had to protect C.J. Mosley and Zach Orr, who was an all-pro at that time. So for me, it was learning the scheme, obviously. Coming from a D1AA school, the defenses are vastly more complicated, but also just learning those nuances and how to make sure I'm in the right position, not only to make plays for myself, but to make sure those guys like C.J. Mosley and Zach Orr could, do their job as well.
I know you mentioned Brandon Williams, who was playing alongside you on that defensive line. Was he kind of that veteran player that you latched on for knowledge in the early part of your career?
Thankfully, I had a great group of guys around me. And one thing I can say about Baltimore, that's a breeding ground for defensive tackles, whether you're Matter of fact, just defensive linemen in general. So we had Timmy Jernigan, who got a nice size contract. Lawrence Guy, who's an amazing player, still with the Patriots. We had Carl Davis. You know, we played next to Terrell Suggs, and Elvis Dumervil was there. The list can go on and on and on. Even Zach Sealer came in after me. He got paid. So Pat Ricard, we can just go on and on and on about guys who got paid. But Lawrence Guy, Brandon, and outside linebacker and Albert McClellan, they all took a liking to me, and they really made sure, you know, once they figured out I was good enough and I was going to make the squad, that they did everything they could to help me succeed, as long as, you know, pursuing success themselves. So I owe a big thank you to all three of those guys.
Well, Michael, it appears you followed suit, because after four seasons in Baltimore, you signed a three-year, $27 million deal with the Vikings. Of course, the agreement came last March. So what was it about the Vikings organization that stood out to you?
So because I'm a big fan of the game outside of, you know, my own team, you notice a lot of, you know, I played them, I think, 3 out of 4 years. I was in the top 10, top 5 defense. So you just pay attention to those rankings. And, you know, one of my favorite nose guards, this is no joke, Linval Joseph and Damon Harrison are my two favorite nose guards to play in the game as we are today. And, you know, prior to my rookie year and all that stuff. So I always watch Linval. I think he made the top 100 in like 2017. Super, super rare. Him and Snacks did. So super, super rare for nose guards, but I've always watched their film. Even throughout my season, I just try to pick up on things if they play like a team and see how they play things and kind of, you know, figure my way out from there. So I always pay attention to their defense because he was there. They beat us pretty bad in 2017. Over there. So I think that was the year they had the Minneapolis Miracle and all that stuff. So, you know, you're aware of, you know, great defenses around the league. And that's just kind of how I familiarized myself with it. But it was mostly because I was watching Linval and, you know, stealing some of his stuff. And I've told him this before, so that won't be a shocker to him.
That got you, man. Yeah. Linval Joseph now with the Los Angeles Chargers. So he is one of those dominant interior players. But Mike Zimmer, your new head coach, Michael, he is also known as a defensive-minded head coach. So what have been your first impressions of him?
He's no nonsense. And that's something I like. He's straightforward. He expects each and every day that you come out and, you know, put your best foot forward on the field, whether that's not only on the field, but in the classroom, in the weight room. Just real no nonsense guy, you know. I've dealt with that in Harbaugh, and that's something I've just grown to love. In this game, you know, it's all about results, and he's all about results. So as far as, you know, the scheme that he runs, it's proven time and time again, even back to when he was in Cincinnati. So, nah, man, I kind of, you know, because I set out this year, I got a chance to do my research and understand exactly, you know, what I was getting myself into, and then, you know, when I got there, really, really awesome dude. And I'm just happy to play for him and be under another great defensive mind.
As you just mentioned, you did opt out of the 2020 season because of the COVID-19 pandemic. So with that being said, Michael, what was it like for you being away from the game for a season?
It was challenging, bro. I said this in a few interviews. For like the first 8 weeks, I was in the dumps. I'm not going to lie to you. So, you know, been playing football since I was 4. I am 28 years old. So for the better part of 24 years, man, I've been entrenched in football season. So it was different, man. It gave me an early shot, a snapshot at retirement. I got to do a lot of things that, you know, I've had interest in, but just never really had time to do. And that was good for me personally. But as far as football-wise, I just got to study a lot of guys, you know, familiarize myself from a third-party aspect and just not being entrenched in anything at the current time. So I always stay in contact with the guys who I play with, and they'll talk to me about certain stuff. And I just kind of fell in love with the game all over again, man. Just having that itch to be out there, and you can't. Most people have that when they have injuries. Thankfully, I had no injuries, and I'm healthy. So, man, it was an interesting year. Counting around week 8, I started to come out of my little dump and, you know, continue on my own with my routine. But it was rough. I'm not going to lie to you.
I'm sure things got intense when you sat down to watch the Vikings play every week, huh?
Yeah, man. I got a nice little setup, man. I had two TVs going and my computer. But no, it was a lot of. I was a fan. I was had my glass of wine, had my food, a lot of yelling at the TV, just like everybody else. So you know, it was interesting. I'm glad to be on the other side again now. But no, it made me appreciate these practices that we're going through in OTAs and camp and all that stuff a lot more.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, as you ramp up for the 2021 season, you're going to take the field with a loaded defense that features Eric Kendricks, Anthony Barr, Harrison Smith, and of course, Dalvin Tomlinson, who was a big free agency signing, Danielle Hunter coming off the edge. So, in your opinion, Michael, how dominant can you all be as a unit?
I think we can be really, really dominant, man. We got Pat P in the back end. We got Harrison Smith. We got Xavier Woods. We got a nice defense, bro. Cam Dantzler will have another year in our system, which is always great. Hopefully we can get Jeff Cladney back. But, man, I'm feeling really confident. So, just like I said, in 2017, they were top two, top three, right along there with us. And, you know, that's what they've been known for, you know, since Zimmer's been there and running the ship. So, I wouldn't expect anything less from us. But, you know, everybody says they have Super Bowl aspirations at this point in the year. For me, it's just about being dominant each and every week. And, you know, the chips will fall where they may. But especially on our offense, we had a top five offense last year. So if our defense comes together, we can get everybody back healthy. The formula is there. We just got to gel and put the product on the field.
OTAs are underway across the league. What has that energy been like from the team? You're around your teammates. You're finally doing some football activities on the field. Now, I've seen one thing that's interesting about OTAs and the Vikings, Michael, is that y'all are featuring some soft cushion helmets that I saw y'all wear. I was looking at the photo gallery. What's up with that, and how have you all kind of adjusted to that?
Yeah, so if you will, you know, like the Bart Starr picture you see with those leather brown helmets, they're not leather. But they are very, very reminiscent of those things. But, you know, we're trying to do something new and just be safe. You know, this past season we had a lot of guys, you know, not go through OTAs. And, you know, we had a lot less injuries outside those first few weeks of the season. But those things happen. The numbers kind of evened out. But, no, man, we're just trying to be safe, trying to take the banging out, especially for our linemen. You know, they added another game to the season, so that's just another, you know, week of punishment and going into the playoffs. So we're trying to be smart, we're trying to be safe, but also get the work in, have everybody get to go full speed, have our receivers and our DBs get their full speed work in, and not worry about guys having concussions and that kind of stuff. So it's been great, man. As far as, you know, as a lineman's perspective, you know, when those helmets come on, it's full speed, and, you know, things, unfortunately, injuries and shoulders and all that kind of stuff happen when you don't have on shoulder pads. So that's just something to protect our helmets. But we're getting the technical work in with our hands and our feet and in position and everything. And everybody's getting their rhythm back. And we'll ramp it up from here when camp comes, and it'll be full go from there. But as far as right now, we're just trying to be safe, but also put the work in and make sure, you know, everybody's on the same page and communicating.
It'll be your first season playing in the historical NFC North with your division rivals now being the Bears, Lions, and Packers. How excited are you to be a part of those rivalries?
I'm super excited. So I've only played Lambeau once. That was the season Aaron Rodgers was hurt. But, you know, that stadium was still sold out. But, you know, whether he comes back or not,
If he's back, that'll be awesome just to be out there and, you know, witness that atmosphere. And, you know, Chicago is Chicago. And, you know, they got Justin Fields. They have a great defense. So, you know, those games will be special just like the Ravens and Steelers were for me. And, you know, hopefully I come out on the winning side a lot more than I do on the other side.
Let's talk about home field advantage, because the Vikings have a state-of-the-art stadium, U.S. Bank Stadium. How pumped are you to play in front of Vikings Nation this coming season?
I'm ecstatic, man, not only because I missed the year, but just remembering the time I think it was the first year they opened the stadium, and we came there. That skull chant is deafening, man. It's an atmosphere to behold for sure. I played in, you know, Jerry's World down in Dallas. I played a little bit everywhere. Played in New Orleans. So, you know, the crowd noise and all that kind of stuff is nothing new to me. Played in Pittsburgh when, you know, the Killer Bees were around. So crowd noise has never been a thing for me, but that stadium is special. Not just saying that because I'm on the team, but I'm sure some guys will echo that around the league as well. So I'm super excited, man. It's been way too long for me. So I'm excited to get it rolling. But that, if you've ever been in that stadium, or if you haven't, you should go and you can form your own opinion. But I think it's awesome.
I don't want to be putting you on the spot here, because I know this is kind of a tough question, but up to this point in your career, Michael, you faced a lot of interior offensive linemen. Is there a short list of guys that you've gone up against that you just know it's going to be an absolute battle every time you see them?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, the Pouncey boys are retired, but I saw the Pounce at least one of them every year, twice a year. So that was a good battle. Travis Frederick, who's retired, does not get enough love at all. Dude was amazing. Could do a little bit of everything. Super strong. Very, very technically sound. Let's see. Who else do we have? Jesus. Mike Iupati is a guard, but that dude is a load. Super, super strong. Surprisingly quick feet for a bigger guy. And he takes up A gap and B gap. And when he hits you, you feel it for sure. So those kind of guys are I look forward to those battles. Calicio Simile, obviously. Rodney Husson's from Mobile, but you know, he's been in the league for maybe 10 or 11 years. Still a top center. I can go on and on, but obviously those guys that I named off the top of my head, they're special.
All right, Michael, a little bit of a lighthearted question here. You know, the NFL has the new number change, and they completely disregarded the linemen, not giving them any single-digit love. I know you've been rocking that 97 for your entire NFL career, but were you feeling a little slighted that you all weren't going to be able to rock one of those single-digit numbers?
Definitely. But, you know, as a nose guard, you get shortchanged on a few things in football, so it just comes with it. But no, definitely, man. I would love to wear a number 9, or I wore 7 in high school as a linebacker. But no, man, that'll be cool. Even number 0, some love for the big people. But you know, they have some, I don't know their rules with all that crap. But you know, the big guys get left out all the time. So unfortunately, I don't think any of us were surprised, but, you know, I'm sure they had like some eligibility number or some kind of crap that they have to do. I don't know.
Yeah.
But as far as that goes, you know, the big guys, we the last to get love. So I ain't surprised. And 97 is fine. Like I said, I've grown to love it, and I'll keep it.
Yeah, I know a lot of NFL defensive linemen on my page. When I put up that the league passed the number rule, they were not happy because they were sliding the offense and defense alignment. So I just want to know your thoughts, Michael, on that kind of a fun topic. But to close out the interview, what is your message to Vikings fans on what they can expect to see from you this year?
You can expect to see an energetic guy, hardworking guy who's going to give you everything he's got every snap. Hopefully you can see a guy who's on the brink of a Pro Bowl season. So that's what I've been working for. That's what I set my goals for. Just to be a leader on this defense, to be a leader on this D-line, along with Daniil and Dalvin. And just let my play do the talking. I don't do too much trash talking. Like I said, I'm a nose guard. It's not the flashiest job in the world, but I plan to make it stand out like I have in the past, and you know, try to get myself in the Pro Bowl, and you know, that only comes with team success. So that's what I'm aiming for.
Well, there you have it, Vikings nose guard Michael Pierce. Man, I appreciate you joining the podcast again. I respect your game. I definitely believe that players such as yourself and all the other nose guards, nose tackles in the NFL, y'all need some more praise and some credit, man. So I'm going to do my part to give you all a little bit more shine on my platforms when I can. But again, look forward to seeing you back on the field this coming year.
Awesome, brother. I greatly appreciate it, man. Have a blessing.
All right, you too.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.